Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of MedNation. I am Dr. Lanier. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Anahi Gutierrez. She is an integral health coach specializing in emotional eating. Anahi obtained her certification through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition of New York in 2017. And recently, in 2022, she received her specialty in emotional eating. Anahi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure being here.
Absolutely. We are going to dive into a topic relevant to all of us, healthy eating habits as a family. It's something that many of our listeners are concerned about, especially in today's fast-paced world. So let's get started. I want you to explain to me and also our listeners why healthy eating habits as a family are so crucial.
So I talk a lot about feeding kids, but I don't think I can talk about how we can feed our kids healthy if we don't role model. So role modeling is the best way our kids learn. It might be the only way they learn. So if we want to raise a next generation that eats well, we need to walk the talk and we need to start doing it ourselves. Eating healthy as a family creates like strong bonds. And there's evidence that kids that eat together as a family have better grades, have better physical and mental health. So it's really important that we do this as a whole family commitment. We cannot say, I cannot coach one mom only to feed their kids healthy if they don't do it. That's why I like to call myself a family health coach and not like kids health coach, because I think it's like a family affair that needs to be done. Mostly because of the role modeling, it's the only way.
No, it totally makes sense. Like you said, you know, walk the talk, and usually kids, they, you know, doing the modeling is important because they will say, if you're not doing it, why are you making me do it?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you don't need to say anything. You just need to
just show role model. Yeah, role model and hopefully they follow. No, totally makes sense. But with busy schedules, families can struggle to prioritize health eating. That's why it's easier sometimes to go and buy fast food. Practical tips to make it easier.
So, I mean, it's going to sound very obvious, but planning. But it's not as simple as it may sound. You have to plan mindfully. And to plan mindfully, you have to take several things into consideration. And one of them is to set realistic expectations. If you set yourself high, you're going to set yourself for failure. So if you're going to set yourself for eating homemade cooks Monday through Sunday and only do blah, blah, diet or whatever, you might not be able to keep up and it won't help. So just be mindful of how you plan. Be realistic. Do what works best for your family. So if you work and for you, sometimes it might be easier to get fast food on a weekday and eat home cooked meals on the weekend. I mean, that might work. You might need to see what works for you. And do not only plan for the food you're serving, plan every week according to your time, your schedule, your kids' activities for that week. So if you know you're going to have a hectic week, you might rely that week on maybe some rotisserie chicken from the grocery store and some quick pasta with a tomato sauce. Just be very mindful of your schedule as well as your kids if you want to make it happen. So it's literally just planning, but not only planning like food and a grocery list, because that's not going to be enough. You have to be mindful of everything that's going on so that it happens.
So it totally makes sense. That's the dilemma that I have, is every time I come home from work and I don't know what to cook. It could be because I'm not prepared and I don't have anything to cook, and I'm always wondering. But I think if I plan ahead, and this is not just for me, for everybody,
you can do what works best for your family. There are some families that might do bulk cooking on the weekend and like cook for a whole day, the same meal that they do over and over. Or you can do some meal prep, just having like maybe some chopped veggies, or maybe just having your fruit and veggies already washed from the grocery market makes things easier. Or buy chopped veggies from the store that will save you time. Whatever works for you, but just plan ahead. You can, chop veggies, cook rice, cook beans during the weekend. Just having a menu on the fridge helps you think ahead of what you need to do. If you watch Sunday night, I'm going to cook chicken, it helps you think maybe Sunday night to thaw the chicken, you know. and that makes it happen. Otherwise, you're going to come Monday and that everything's frozen and you might not have anything to cook. So planning is super important, but also maybe some doing meal prep in advance, if that's something you can do, helps a ton. But I'm not saying like cooking for the whole week, but maybe just having washed things, chopped things, and a few things that you can cook bulk, like rice, lentils, beans, pasta, maybe some rubs or marinade, something easy.
There was a couple scenarios that I have came across with some of my employees or some of the people that I work with. And I was talking about, why can't you just bring food from home, lunch, you know, instead of buying, going to fast food and stuff like that. And they relate to me, it's cheaper to buy, you know, from fast food than to buy groceries and cook and have that healthy meal. And I was surprised by that. Is there a cheaper way, affordable way? Is there a way for people on a budget?
I mean, I don't think I can compete. We have to be clear. You cannot compete like a homemade salad to a McDonald's combo for $5. Like there is no comparison and I cannot compete with that. But there's maybe you bringing a sandwich from home versus Panera, that's cheaper, you know, like, so there's some things you can do. I mean, you can always do what's best for your family, but instead of buying, you don't need to buy organic, you don't need to buy the best quality of foods. Just make sure to always have veggies and fruits, whatever is your budget for that, and try to accommodate for that. But if you buy like a rotisserie chicken from Costco, you can, and like a mix of salad from the grocery store that has already chopped veggies, you can have several meals for the week with that, and it's cheap and you're controlling more the ingredients, like the sodium and the sugars, added sugars that you might know of, and all those things. There's a way to do it. I just don't know if I can compete with healthy food versus McDonald's, because there's no way to compare it. But meal planning helps a lot, because you will buy what you, if you really commit to your plan, at least to do it, I don't know, 2-3 times a week, you won't be wasting food. Because I think what it's super expensive is buying things and then not cooking them or not preparing them and taking to the office, and then you have food that you end up wasting. But you can, one of the things that you can do is help yourself with semi-homemade meals. Like I mentioned, buying like a rotisserie chicken from Costco that is huge, and a chopped salad that only you need to mix the vinaigrette. And that's something you can do. If you do your own sandwich, at least you know which type of bread you're having. Are you having like the low sodium turkey meat instead of the high sodium one from, I don't know, from the your deli that your deli shop you're going. So there's some ways that you can do it, but there's no comparison between fast food and like healthy food. And there's a reason why fast food might be cheap when we don't know about it.
Super, yeah. Makes sense. What about picky eaters? You know, or the kids you may resist trying new foods.
I'm gonna go again to role modeling, and one of the best ways for kids to try new things is if they see the parents eat it. So it's very important that we try to have family meals as much as we can. I'm not saying that you have to have family dinners like every day of the week, but at least try to do it maybe 3-4 times a week. And maybe it's not dinner, maybe it's breakfast, maybe it's on the weekends, whatever works for your family, but try to have some meals together, because your kids will be exposed to the foods that they see you eat and enjoy. Because one thing is just eating, another thing is enjoying food. So it's really important to enjoy food with them, and they will learn to enjoy it as well. Our eating process starts the moment we smell and see the food. So if our kids are not eating, but they're seeing and smelling what's in front of them, the broccoli, the salmon, whatever, it's much more likely for them to try it later on in life than if we cook for them apart and they eat on their own. Like if we always cook mac and cheese for them and we eat on our own, because it's like a vicious cycle where they don't eat what we prepare. So we prepare something for them, and then they don't ever try anything new. And the best way to do it is by creating connections at the family table, where they will feel more comfortable and they will have learning opportunity if there's no pressure and there's like a positive environment.
That makes sense. Everything you said makes sense.
My first child, I think, is a perfect child. And then my girls I thought picky eaters were something made up by parents who don't know how to feed their kids until I had my girls. So I think picky eater can be like a real struggle for parents, and just be mindful about that. One of the things that I recommend every parent that have picky eaters is just to focus more on the connection than on what they're eating. So if they feel connected and at ease, it will be more likely they try new foods. And one of the things to do this is by always having something they like at the table. That doesn't mean short order cooking for them. It means just doing easy meal adaptations for your menu. So it's just adding a side of pasta, adding some chopped apples if they like apples, having some mashed potatoes with your steak because they like steak. If they see something they like, eating will lead to eating, and they will be more happy at the table, and it'll be more easy for them to really sit and watch you eat other things.
What we did with our kids was like we had variety on the table. So we had tons of food, and we never told them to eat. We just sat down and ate whatever we want, and they just followed us. So far, both of our kids, they eat everything, which is good. You mentioned on your website that children are born with the ability to regulate hunger, but it's often their parents' behavior that disrupts their natural process. What does that mean? Can you elaborate on how parents can align themselves with their children's natural hunger?
So when we have babies, I cry and we feed them, and they push their bottles or they push the breast, and we know they're full, and we don't pressure them to have more. But as they grow, I think we think we have some kind of control on our kids' body, and we pressure them to eat or finish their food, or maybe the opposite way, restrict the amount of food they're eating. And that really goes against this natural ability that we have as humans to listen to our hungers and satiation cues. And we lose it mostly because we grew up with parents that forced us to have one more bite, or made us feel bad when we ate more because we were like big eaters compared to our siblings. So whenever we pressure or restrict our kids to eat and we don't allow them for them to listen to our body, or we start losing this innate ability of listening to our hunger cues. And most of us as adults have lost it due to this dieting, being too busy, that you're so busy you don't listen to your body when you're hungry, and many other things.
Well, this is a great segue to talk about dieting. Diet culture, how do you view it, and how does it impact kids and families?
You have to eat and be as compassionate to yourself as you want your kids to grow up to be. So if you want your kids to grow free of the diet culture and really eat mindfully and know when they're full and when they're hungry, you have to start doing that for yourself, because they see everything that we do and they watch everything that we do, and they'll follow our steps. So if you are a very cautious eater where you watch every gram, every fat, every calorie, then they might grow up doing that. If you are a mindless eater that you will snack on everything that is in front of you, they will copy that. If you want to raise a kid who ends up loving food, loving their body, and being very mindful about what they eat, you need to walk the talk. And you also need to be very careful about your own guilt and relationship around the food, and let your kids be your coaches and try to improve for them. It's the only way to break the pattern of dieting and dieting and dieting and dieting in this country.
Yeah.
And stop the change the conversations. Like, I never talk about anyone's body ever.
Yeah.
Not even in front of my kids, but I don't talk about anyone's body. It's not my concern. If someone's fat, if someone's lost weight, if someone is chubby, like, we don't talk about body image in front of our kids, because that's something that doesn't matter for us. And I try not to, I do have some guilt that I grew up when growing up, and I did grow up with some diet culture, but I'm trying to get away from that. I'm trying to be very mindful about the language that I use at the table, even for me, not for them. But I don't label things like, this is super healthy, this is fattening, this is diet, this is light. I just, food is food, and it's here to nourish us. And every different food has its purpose in life. Like, sugar has a purpose to give you energy, and the broccoli has other amazing properties, and protein makes you big, like strong muscles. But we have to be neutral about food, and stop just all the bad labeling and guilt when we eat and when our kids eat, because we'll pass on this guilt for them, and it'll affect their food relationship and their body relationship, and they'll eventually diet and even maybe grow up having some eating disorders. We just need to be very careful with our language.
Well said, my friend. Before we wrap up, can you share one simple and nutritious family-friendly recipe that we can try?
I like to do a lot like a breaded chicken breast, but I use almond flour instead. So you can just season your chicken breast, cut in half with some salt and pepper and mustard. That's what I do. And then you have your beaten eggs, almond flour with some Parmesan cheese if you want to, and you can coat it on that. And it's like your healthy chicken tenders, if you want to say, because of the almonds. And another thing that I try to do is I try to add veggies to, it's not to everything that I cook. I don't like to hide veggies from my kids. I try to expose them, or if there's any opportunity for me to add veggies to something, I will. So whenever you're cooking mac and cheese, what I recommend a lot is buying the cauliflower rice, that it's really, really small parts, and you can boil it with the water. If your kids don't eat veggies, they won't notice it, and it'll be included in your mac and cheese. That's another tip. It's not a recipe.
Cauliflower rice? There's a cauliflower rice?
Yeah, it's just cauliflower. You can do it yourself by grating cauliflower with a grater, but they sell it like frozen, and you can make cauliflower rice with that. So instead of using rice grains, you will cook it like rice, just with onion and maybe some garlic, and you'll have like a side of looking cauliflower that kind of is cauliflower, but they call it cauliflower rice. I'll just rather have just steamed cauliflower. I don't use it as cauliflower rice because I prefer cauliflower on its own. But it is so, so small that if you mix it with pasta for picky eaters, they will eat it without noticing. But it's, I think, a great thing to do. Again, I don't like hiding veggies from my kids, but I add them to every opportunity that I have. And that's like a great thing to do. The almond flour, chicken tenderloin, I love it. Or you can do it as well with salmon, doing your own fish sticks, but with almond meal, almond flour. It's amazing.
Where do you get the almond flour? They have them at the grocery store?
They have a huge one at Costco. But yeah, they're at the grocery store.
Well, we all learned something new today.
Grocery shopping together, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I think that would be our next goal. Thank you, Anahi, for joining us on MedNation today. Your expertise on health eating habits as a family has been truly enlightening. Well, for us, that's a wrap up for today. Today's episode of MedNation. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast with your friends and family. Stay healthy, everyone.